Chapter 30. Even if he hadn't been wearing camouflage pants and a khaki t-shirt, Nick Benfield couldn't have been anything other than army. He was tall, muscular, and clearly worked out a lot. His fair hair was cut close to the scalp, and he had what Jackman could only think of as a tough, weathered baby face.
If it's all right with you, we'll do this in an interview room and take what you have to say. It'll make life easier for us, should what you have to say turn out to be admissible evidence.
Without waiting for an answer, Jackman led the way to interview room 4, followed by Benfield and an excited Marie. Introductions over with, Jackman said,
"Can you tell us everything you know about this man?"
He pointed to a photo that lay on the table, one of Orak's better representations of Alistair Ashcroft.
"For the tape, I am showing Mr. Benfield a likeness of Alistair Ashcroft."
The name I knew him by was Gavin Archer. He became a regular visitor to the gun club around 2 months ago. After about 3 weeks, he signed up for the sniper experience.
Nick briefly paused.
As I told the other detectives, he was different to most of the people we get on that particular course. He was, well, so into it. He was intense about absolutely everything. For most participants, it's a fun experience, bit of excitement, playing at being a fighting soldier for a day. Not so with Gavin. No fun there. He made every aspect of it a deeply serious undertaking. I was very uncomfortable teaching him, D.I. Jackman. I've had 1,000 squaddies pass through my training sessions, some of them real tough cookies. There's been a few weirdos too, but no one made me feel like Gavin Archer did. It takes a lot to ruffle me, but he managed it, and how.
What sort of shot was he, Nick? Asked Marie.
First class. One of the best novices I've had on the range. Guy was a natural. You'd only have to tell him something once. When he first started, he said he was worried about eye dominance. Now, most beginners haven't even heard of that, let alone its possible effects on the shot. He was such an eager student. I should have liked him, but I didn't.
From what you say, it appears he did have some knowledge of guns, even though you say he was a beginner, Jackman said.
I'd say so, yes.
We believe that prior to joining your club, he was a member of the Fenside Gun Club here in Salton. Would that seem right to you?
Nick nodded.
We would answer several questions about his ability. And Harcourt's club is a good one. I spent some time there years back. He has a good crew.
You heard that the armourer was shot and killed? Marie asked.
Nick looked angry. I did. And ever since I have been asking myself whether I trained the man who pulled the trigger on Arthur Barnes and those other men.
Jackman said, If he hadn't gone to you, he would have gone somewhere else. You have no reason to blame yourself at all. He was a killer with a plan. He used you and your club like he's used so many others. The main thing is that you could be instrumental in us catching him. You have given us new, up-to-date footage of him, and you've provided us with a vehicle registration number. Robbie and Max are checking that out right now. That's a big thing, Nick.
Nick Benfield didn't look totally appeased by Jackman's words.
Training soldiers, getting them ready for battle is one thing. Teaching some psycho the tricks of the trade is another. It makes you sick to your stomach.
That was how Ashcroft worked. Using and manipulating people to get what he wanted.
Listen. Nick Benfield leaned forward across the table. I'm not sure if this will help, but the man I knew as Archer became close buddies with another club member. I'm pretty sure they met up outside the club, but I certainly saw them in the cafe together several times. Thing is, this other man, his name is Larry Turner, by the way, is not only a gun collector. He's in one of your tactical firearms teams.
He's a copper, Marie said, horrified.
And a pretty obsessive collector of small arms. I heard he owns around 30 or more weapons.
Nick looked from one to the other.
He's a nice bloke. I always liked him. So I couldn't see why he was so pally with Archer.
Because that's what Archer, or Ashcroft as he really is, wanted. Police officer or not, Ashcroft charmed him.
Jackman wrote down the name.
Is he still a serving officer, Nick?
I think so. He hasn't been to the club for a while. But I can get you his address, if that'd help.
Marie stood up.
It's okay.
I'll get someone to run it through our computer right now.
She went to the door, called to a constable and gave him the name. Jackman's mind was doing overtime. A police marksman. What better choice for a buddy? How long had Ashcroft been planning this? And was it all just to get back at Marie and him? It was beyond reason.
There's one more thing, Inspector.
Nick's voice tore him from his reverie.
At the same time as Archer, or whoever he is, was with us, a handgun was stolen. We had a good idea who had taken it, but we had no proof. We'd had a bit of trouble with a young chap who was a right big mouth. He'd been given a 2-day ticket for the sniper experience, won it in a competition or something like that. But he was disruptive, and we asked him to leave after the first day. He raised Cain, and I threw him out. Afterwards, we discovered a gun had gone missing. We assumed it was him, but maybe...
Maybe someone else took advantage of the furore, Marie said.
Could be.
Nick, was it a Smith & Wesson Model 500 revolver? Jackman asked.
How the hell...
Jackman and Marie shared a glance.
Now we know where he got it, Jackman said.
He returned his gaze to Nick Benfield.
Ashcroft stole it, not your young troublemaker.
That's a mighty powerful weapon.
We know. It's already killed a police officer,
murmured Marie.
Jesus, Nick whistled softly. What is this guy?
He's a master deceiver, Nick, Jackman said. Hell-bent on destruction.
One last question. I know this may sound odd, but did you ever notice him wearing a particular cologne?
Yeah, I did, as a matter of fact. Most guys doing these courses finish up all sweaty, but this Archer always smelt good.
Thanks for that. You've just confirmed another link.
Jackman stopped the tape and stood up.
Your help has been really invaluable. If you think of anything else, here's my card. Did you come in with Robbie and Max, or did you bring your own car?
I came in with your detectives.
Then we'll get you a car to take you back.
Jackman held out his hand.
Thank you again. It's very much appreciated.
While Marie organized transport for Nick Benfield, Jackman hurried back upstairs to the CID room.
Boss, we're on the right track.
Max looked as if he was on something.
We reckon he's still using the same car as when he was posing as Gavin Archer. Oh, and the real Archer is a long-term patient in the Grange nursing home in Fenchester. He was mugged and sustained a head injury that left him on life support for a while. He's a single man with no relatives, debilitating brain damage and no recollection of the mugging. Now, although it was thought nothing was stolen in the attack, I suspect his driving license was nicked and Ashcroft used it as an ID to get him into the gun club.
Robbie hurried over to join them. He too was barely able to curb his excitement.
We've just picked up the car being used a few days ago in the Calder Road area. We lost it when it went off round the back doubles, but we have civilians checking the data from all the ANPR cameras coming into and going out of Salton. If we can pinpoint a road or location he uses regularly, we can concentrate our search in that area.
Good work. Maybe the tide is turning for us.
The two young detectives went back to their desks, while Jackman returned to his office to look at the CCTV footage that Nick Benfield had made available from the sniper course. He saw at once that the man calling himself Gavin Archer was Ashcroft. When Marie joined him, Jackman was watching a separate film, one made to advertise the courses. Ashcroft, unaware of being filmed, was lying stretched out full length in long grass, wearing a black polo top and black cargo pants, his sniper rifle on a tripod and pointing to a target that was so far away it was almost out of sight.
Now that is called focus, muttered Marie,
seeing the look of total concentration on his face.
Remember what his old teacher said about him during the last case? Even as a boy, Ashcroft could do anything he put his mind to, and excel at it.
He gave a short laugh.
Although I suspect being a serial killer wasn't something the teacher had in mind.
Marie sat down. I just saw the super's car fighting its way through the press cameras by the car park.
Well, I'd better bring her up to speed.
At least we have something positive for once.
Just as he was about to leave, Max appeared at his door.
Boss, we've got a bit of a problem with the police firearms chap Larry Turner.
Come in, Max.
Jackman returned to his desk.
Problem?
Thing is, he's been on sick leave for quite a few weeks now. Stress, they say. And because of his job, he's been rested.
Max looked at his pocketbook.
Welfare did a domiciliary visit recently, and he wouldn't even let him in. He called out that he was really poorly and that his sister was coming to collect him and take him back with her to Weymouth.
Is this going where I think it is? Asked Jackman.
Probably. HR has no contact address for his sister, and now he's off the radar.
Jackman swore under his breath.
Where does this guy live?
Hartley O'Dyke, 3 miles outside Salton. Small house on the main road into the village. It's called Snipedale.
Most appropriate, I'm sure.
Fancy a ride, Max? And you, Marie?
They stood up.
Aren't you coming, boss?
Marie asked.
He shook his head. I'd better report into Ruth. But ring me if you find anything of interest, okay?
Marie gave a little salute.
Will do.
Go and grab a vehicle, Max. I'll be right with you.
On my way, Sarge.
He turned in the doorway and grinned at her.
I'm glad to be back.
We are too, mate. Now bugger off and get that car.
Needing to get away from his idiot acolyte, Ashcroft found a small cafe in Salton's only shopping precinct, from where he watched the police moving to and fro. How he hated that boy Paul and his evil temper, stupidity and childishness. He hated having to go over every single thing again and again before it sank in. Ashcroft stared into his cup. This whole business had become tiresome. Why, even his old nemesis had disappointed him. He had expected so much more of their game. Twists and turns and hair-raising moments. But there had been no reaction at all from them. He needed a new challenge, because clearly Jackman wasn't up to it. He drank his insipid coffee, wondering where it had all gone wrong. His expectations had clearly been too high. Best to end it and start afresh elsewhere. It would not be the epic conclusion he had been looking forward to, but it would be satisfying enough. Then he'd move on. He downed the rest of his drink and stood up. It hadn't been all bad. In fact, the journey had been edifying and rather enjoyable. His new skill with deadly weapons gave him a massive advantage, and he had confirmed his talent as a chameleon. If nothing else, it had shown him that there was nothing in this world he couldn't do. So what next? He left the cafe, strode back to the car park. Time to dispense with Jackman and his Marie, and kiss goodbye to Sultan Le Fenn.